At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
You know you've been doing radio for a while, Topes, when you can time your final bite of your lunch and finish it just in time for the intro music.
Nailed it.
I mean, if anything that you learn, this is year 16 for your pal. Every day is incredible. I love it. That's when you kind of know, you know what? I'm getting the hang of this thing. I got a chance. I got a chance to make it. Savannah starts talking. I go, I have time for two bites, right? It's a chewy, it's Pupitella Friday, it's what we do. Hold on, I gotta get it out, Tubbs. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, let's hear this thing.
Just wait 1 second.
Is it made of plastic?
No, never.
It's not a paper
card. No. It's only for the big sillies.
What is it made out of?
Dreams.
Oh.
Hope.
Yes.
Belief. So here's just the regular sound of me tapping it on the desk. Can you hear it? Here we go. You feel the weight behind it. Now, this is probably a 7-8-inch drop.
Generous.
Ready? Here we go.
Oh.
Yeah. That's the sound of being a big silly.
Yes.
Picked up the Pupitella for the boys. Is kind of now the new Friday sort of deal.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Absolutely happy to do it. Thanks to the folks at Pupitella as well. But I did that. And what else? Oh, yeah. Plenty good show for you guys today. We have to do the radio program instead of just talking about my day.
I mean, I would love to talk about food for...
I know. Well, I don't think you want to talk about food right now. And I'm not trying to embarrass you, but you told me right before, like, the shot clock is already running.
Yeah, the shot clock's running. I think I can do it.
I think you can, too. If Toby bolts out of here, just know that you guys, you'll know why. All right? it's Grant and Danny on the Fan. Toby's in for GP one more day like that, and then we'll be back to normal, I think, at some point next week. A couple things we want to talk about today. A menial task that you love doing. I'll explain that at 3 o'clock. NFL Network, the Good Morning Foosball, did a nice topic that we're just going to completely rip off and make our own. Who are the biggest threats to the Eagles, and where does Washington kind of rank in there? I want to talk about Jaden Daniels being potentially sophomore slump proof, because that sophomore slump has, not claimed, but, you know, slowed down a lot of guys, where we assume this giant growth, and you get struggles from year one to year two, which now defensive coordinators have a chance to look at tape on you, figure out your tendencies, what you do, what you don't. Tougher schedules can happen. So all of a sudden, we're just anticipating this, you know, rocket ship-style SpaceX ascent, and maybe that doesn't happen that way. It doesn't change my feelings about Jaden Daniels. Just means, do we need to slow our roll at all? We'll talk about that later on. We'll win off the field at 3:45. We'll do a little G&D's Tony's mailbag as well, a segment that we invented. Do that in the 6 o'clock hour. I've got some James Wood conversation I want to have with you guys as well. But let's start here, Tobes. It's kind of, we seem to, NBA playoffs last night. The Pacers did not look like a team that was interested in winning a championship.
Mm-mm.
I understand that happens, but this might be Cowherdian. This might be the kind of take that I just can't stand when people make. But here it is. That's not what a champion does. You might lose that game. The Knicks they're not here to be pushovers, right? That's not what a champion looks like. Now, I understand you could point to, just top of my head, the Chicago Bulls having a laydown game when they were up 3-1, losing to the Jazz at home, and then go back before Jordan drills the shot over Byron Russell. I understand that. But when you've never done it before and you've got no deposits in the bank, I don't know, man. They don't look championship ready to me. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it was a disappointing performance last night. I thought the TNT crew did a good job of breaking it down that, you know, there were some adjustments that Tom Thibodeau made. By the way, finally made some offensive adjustments.
What's that? Is that when you change something?
Yeah, like, you know, where you actually try to, you know, make something a little bit better that has been struggling. But
you know what he did last night? You ever do this at a restaurant where they have one thing on the menu and you put something else in instead? What's that called?
Is that a substitution?
A substitution.
Oh, okay.
He substituted different players. He's allowed to do that.
Yeah, he is allowed to do that.
It's not like soccer
really
where there's a limit.
Yeah, and I thought they did a good job last night. The adjustment that he was talking about, Charles Barkley, your buddy brought it up, to saying getting Brunson off the ball when Nesmith was on him and having him be able to work off the ball, get the ball in different situations, because Brunson just gets hounded by Nesmith all 94 feet. So I thought that was an interesting take, and it's something that you saw a difference with. But yeah, I mean, the Pacers just didn't look ready to go last night. And I hate to be the media shouty show talking head guy that's like, hey, is game six a must win for the Pacers? But it kind of feels like game six for the Pacers might be a little must win territory.
That's where the pressure is.
Back at home, right? You got to win this one, because game seven at MSG, even though the Knicks didn't look great their first couple of games, they looked much better at the Garden last night. I don't know. You run into an interesting spot where if you lose game six and you have to go back to the Garden for game seven, they're going to be motivated. Seems like maybe they found something. I'm interested to see how Rick Carlisle adjusts for game six. That's what's always so fun about these playoff series. The longer they go is just seeing the different strings that these coaches pull and the way that they do it. But it gets real, real nervy if you're an Indiana Pacers fan after watching last night.
Having had a chance to close out, you don't. And you know, again, it's not as if this series has been blowout city. Right, I know, you know, double-digit win last night, but these games were they were incredibly competitive. The first three games, the first four games of the series could have been won by either team. I think game four, the Pacers were decidedly better. The Knicks kept chipping away at the lead, but couldn't quite get over the top. But still, you know, game one, the Knicks should have won that game. Didn't close it out, mm-hmm. right? The one of the craziest postseason comebacks we've ever seen. Game two, again, they're right there. Ends up being a five-point loss. But it's not as if there was no chance that they win that basketball game. So we acted like, oh, Indiana's dominating the series. This is not a Carolina versus Washington close score but being dominated. This is a tweak away. This is that Jalen Brunson off the ball a little bit away. This is a Karl Anthony Towns realizing that he's not a European big man and going to the rack every now and again, right? Now, they can't get a foul call to save their lives. I personally think it's because they're kvetching after every single possible thing, and maybe it's overkill, but at the same time, like, if there's a game where they do get a couple of calls, who knows, right? I mean, so anyway, it's the Pacers, to me, they might win tomorrow night and that's the end of it. This is the one where they'll look back if they don't win this series and go, we might have lost that game. We might have lost game five, because again, the Knicks are right there. It's the point of my little soliloquy. But I really wish we'd come out with a little bit better of an effort and not sort of counting our chickens.
I think this series has been interesting because game one, like you said, probably should have gone the Knicks' way. We know that. Well, just watching that one, the crazy comeback that they made. So you can make the argument the Knicks should be up 3-2 in this series. And then I think if you're Indiana, you're looking at last night's effort, you're not happy with it. But game three was one that they should have won. They were outscored in the fourth quarter by 16 points, outscored 36-20. In the fourth quarter for the New York Knicks to win that one by 106-100. Like, you got to feel like you should have won game three. You at least feel like you should have had a better effort in game five. Maybe you don't win it, but you should have had a better effort. So I think the interesting part about this series is maybe it goes seven, but either way, however it goes, even if it's finished in six and Indiana wins it, the Knicks could be kicking themselves for losing game one. If the Pacers don't go on to win this series, they're going to be kicking themselves about game three, about their effort in game five, obviously whatever's going to happen in game six. So I think this series is really interesting, and it's good, honestly, because the hockey playoffs, now we know the Stanley Cup final, both of those series finished in five. You had the Thunder series finish in five as well. So at least now we still have one conference final that didn't finish in five games.
So now, you know, if this thing goes seven somehow, or, you know, the longer it goes, now there's kind of that rest versus rust thing with OKC that you know, does that negate things or change things? You know, because again, this isn't a group that's been here before in terms of experience, but they're the better team. That's whoever they end up playing in these finals.
Yeah, no question.
But still, I mean, maybe that's an equalizer. Maybe that's something that kind of changes the way that series goes. But anyway, I'm grateful for the fact that it's going beyond five games, kind of to your point. So the Nats won last night. I actually couldn't stay up anymore. After midnight, as Jorge Lopez blew that lead, and it just was, you know, if I'm Mackenzie Gore, I'm just sitting there so pissed off, so irritated that I threw a gem, six innings, shut out ball, then get eight or nine punches in the game. He was fantastic, got himself out of his own self-made trouble. He was great. But the thing I want to talk about isn't necessarily beating the Seattle Mariners, although that was nice to win two out of three. It's James bleeping Wood. I don't think, now Grant does this running bit where he's like, people are sleeping on James Wood, and all the beat writers are like a little bit confused by it, and if not slightly put off by it, but I think it's a quality bit. But there is something to that here, Topes. I don't know if we truly realize what's happening here. James Wood has an OPS of 904 and is hitting 282. Against lefties.
That's incredible.
This is not major league veteran of 10 years who's seen now quality lefty after quality lefty after quality lefty come trotting in to match up with him, who's now finally starting to make some tweaks and adjustments. This is 22-year-old kid who can't run a car without getting the extra insurance penalty, who is making those kinds of real-time approach-related adjustments. Listen, a nasty lefty will get him from now and again. That happens to everybody, right? Same way a nasty righty would get Aaron Judge. But for a guy overall, and his numbers against righties are patently absurd, quite frankly. What's happening right now with his 15 home runs, 9 steals, walked into third base last night because they weren't paying attention to him, got a great jump, put the pedal to the metal, and again, stole the bag easily. What he's doing on a semi-nightly basis, I'm not really sure everybody quite understands how remarkable this is.
He's so good. It's unbelievable to watch this guy. To your point, against lefties last night, in the top of the sixth inning, it's a tie ball game. Runners on first and second. Understanding the situation, the Mariners go to the pen, taking out Emerson Hancock, the righty, to bring in Gabe Spire, the lefty. And what does James Wood do? First pitch, double down the left field line, drives in two runs, Nats up 2-0. Just his ability to go to all fields. And he's kind of an anomaly, Danny. You understand this as someone that's played. Like, he's someone that generally, if you have a compact swing, you can't hit for the power that he does. But his size, Judge has this too, to an extent, right? Yep. A compact swing where because of your size, you can still hit for prodigious power. That's what he has. So, you know, it's not like he's slump proof. Like, I think people have said that and different things. I don't think he's slump proof or anything, but he's someone that can overcome a lot of things because he's just got a short compact swing, can barrel it to left field. Obviously, he's a lefty going the other way. We've seen that. He can turn on the ball and pull it, which we're seeing more this year. I mean, honestly, he's one of the best hitters in baseball. It's not just, you can take out the young thing, right? Like, he's not one of the just best young hitters in baseball. He's one of the best hitters in baseball. Codify put out something today saying that James Wood's the only player in MLB history to have a 380-plus on-base percentage with 15 homers and 9 steals in his team's first 56 games before turning 23. Only player ever to do that. I mean, when you're talking about what he's doing, we're talking one of only a handful or one of the only people to ever do this. He's so special. So special.
In the National League right now, there are a handful of candidates through the first, and this doesn't matter all that much, but roughly first third of the season, who are, you would say, MVP candidates. Kyle Tucker's doing ridiculous things. Double-digit homers, 15 steals. His teammate, actually, Pete Crow Armstrong, out of nowhere, we're going to see the Cubs here pretty soon, the Nationals are, is having, quite frankly, one of the most remarkable seasons you're going to remember. Yeah. I don't expect that to continue to that degree, right? Really, you know, nice piece, super fast, good player, but everyone's like, okay, come on. He's going to come back down to earth at some point. And if he doesn't, give him the MVP award. But in the American League, it's Judge, you go down the list of some, you know, Cal Raleigh, the guy that we just saw, has been fantastic. But in the National League, Shohei, Kyle Tucker, James Wood. These are right now the MVP candidates, as far as I'm concerned. At 22 years old, I don't think he wins it because, again, Shohei, the presence he has in that lineup is so good. He's got more protection than anybody you could ever imagine. But what's happening is that level. That's the conversation you are now in for James Wood. And he's finding his way as a left fielder, had kind of a kick last night, moving to his left, the ball that he should have fielded cleanly. He didn't get stuck in his glove, ends up, you know, granting a base runner an extra base. So those things are, I think, in progress. But offensively, he's so unbelievably advanced for his age and experience level. And remember, this, it's not that long ago. He was a toolsy guy in the Padres organization with a swing and miss problem, right? Like, the scouting report read almost the same for Elijah Green and James Wood, right? Big, toolsy, athletic, strong, fast. Swings and miss a little too much. We'll see. One is down at rookie ball having Jason Wirth fly down in between horse races to work some front toss with him. And the other is an MVP candidate here in Washington at 22 years old. This is kind of a James Wood hype-up segment here. But I guess my question is, well, not even a question, my observation. And some Nats fans can call me names and tell me I'm wrong. But here's what I think happened. When they started 1-6, getting smacked around in the first 7 games of the season, really, I think a lot of people kind of checked out. Since then, they've basically been a 500 club. And since then, there have been a lot of things that have happened that are really damn good.
Yes.
Most specifically, James Wood, but C.J. Abrams is kind of the 1A there. Luis Garcia, guy that I always kind of beat the drum for, starting to come out of it. He's hitting a bunch of bad luck. Bummed about Dylan Cruz, who was starting to do the same thing as well. But James Wood is so unbelievably special that I don't quite think Nats fans have really woken up to it. I think the folks that are there on a Tuesday night when it's 58 degrees and kind of dreary, I think the folks that are there already coming to the games kind of get it and realize what's happening is so unbelievably special. This is Soto level. This is Bryce Harper winning the MVP here level when no one else hit 20 home runs in the lineup. Like, this is so extraordinary what he's doing that maybe it's our fault too. We're not spending enough time, banging on this drum, but my God, like, every day there's something else where you go, he shouldn't be able to do that, and yet here we are.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy that's on pace for 40-plus homers, 120 RBIs, someone that's only going to get better, by the way, Danny. Like, someone that's going to show improvements, because I still think there's stuff that he can improve on. Like, I think that stuff that you can see that he can improve on, yet he's hitting almost 290 and one of the best hitters in the National League, like you were already laying out. And I don't know that we need to dive into this today, but we were kind of discussing this the other day just through text. Like, you look at young players in this game right now, how many would you take over James Wood? And I think the list is one or two. I think a Bobby Witt Jr., just because of how good he can play at shortstop, can be in that discussion and his impact at the plate. And if you want to consider a pitcher, maybe you go Paul Skeens. But generally, you're going to take the position player. So you probably would say you take Wood over Skeens. And I think Bobby Witt's the only guy then ahead of it. Because Gunnar Henderson, solid defender, not great, good hitter. I would take James Wood's bat. I would take his. I think Gunnar overall is a better defender than James, but not by a ton. But I just think that's the kind of stuff we're talking about here. Like, you see these articles all the time written. Like, we saw this year now with the Commanders, right? Mm-hmm. Where they're like, if you could start a team with one guy, who would it be? And everybody's like, Jaden Daniels. And that shows you how good he is, right? I think that's where James Wood is. I really do. And everybody that could tell us down in spring training was telling us how good this guy was going to be. They're telling us how hard he works, how much he grinds, how impressive an individual he is, and they're telling us this guy is going to be a superstar in the future. And you can take the future off because he's already a superstar, and people were saying, oh, he's going to get MVP votes in a couple of years. It might be this year the way he's going.
Yeah, again,
that's how good he's been.
I don't think he wins it this year because the National League is stacked. I already mentioned Ohtani, Tucker, Corbin Carroll. If the Diamondbacks turn it around or a playoff team like they were last year, he could do it. Ellie De La Cruz is still lurking. Some of those power totals and the average picks up, even though they're a losing team. But the point is, the National League is stacked with really, really good players. Wood is in the conversation. And again, that's kind of the level we're at. We're in that Soto conversation. We're in that Harper conversation. It's kind of these generational special type things. So the question here, and I've got another angle I want to play with it as well. We've got a basketball player at 245 that I want to toss the ball around with you on as to whether you like his game or not, because it's divisive.
Mm-hmm.
Something I want to do at 245. 3:00, I've got a menial task that I actually love doing. I want to share that with you. But right now, Nats fans unite. 800-636-1067 is the phone number. 800-636-1067. You probably get it. If you're going to call us, you probably get that James Wood's good. Scratch that. That James Wood's incredible. Do your fellow fans get it? Do, like, the guys on the text chain get it? Does the homie chat get it? Does your version of, hey, you guys want to go to the Nats game tonight? I got $10 tickets in the scoreboard walk. We could get Shake Shack and then go right next door to get Palm Frites. So you get a Shake Shack burger, maybe a shake there, and then the fry place right next door, which is the ultimate fat guy move. You could do that, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could just go straight pen chili bowl on the lower level. You could go to Hot Dogs. Hot Dogs, I don't know how you say that, but I know the hot dogs are really good.
I think, what's the new, there's like a Filipino-Hawaiian fusion place in left field.
It's in left?
I tried.
In the little concourse?
Yeah. I can't remember the name of it, but try that place too.
Tell me about that, right? Well, you and I talk about it. You go to Swizzler. The point is, you're going with the boys. Did they get it? Are people understanding what's happening? That's kind of my open-ended question. I got a second Kurt Angle I want to press on that here with you in a little bit, but 800-636-1067 is the phone number. You probably get it, person listening to this radio program. First of all, thank you for doing it. Second of all, appreciate you weighing in. Does everybody get it? Do the people in your circles get it? That's the conversation I want to have about James Wood. We'll do that at 226 on The Fan.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Three balls and two strikes. Finnegan sets. To be pitch number 21. And here it comes. Breaking ball. In there. Strike three call. Actually, the splitter, a high splitter, drops in, locks up a Rosarena. And a curly W in the books here in 10 innings in Seattle.
You might recognize that voice. A guy named Charlie Slows, up-and-coming broadcaster.
I hear he's pretty good.
He is pretty good. There's a guy also that he works with, Dave Jagelar.
Something like that.
I think is how you say it.
Jaguar?
Jaguar?
Yeah.
They're fantastic. They call Nats games. You can hear those right here on 106.7. The Fan final out from last night. Sorry about it. 2 out of 3 in Seattle. An underrated ballpark, by the way. I still call it Safeco. It's not. It's like T-Mobile or something like that. I don't care about that part. The ballpark is a great visit. If you're in Seattle, they're playing. Get a cheap ticket and go. Walk around. Sightlines are beautiful. Anyway, welcome back to the program. Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Tobes is in for GP. The conversation of the moment here is James Wood related. And this is kind of, again, I know, you know that expression, Tobes, preaching to the choir? I think if you're listening to the sports radio program, I think you probably have a pretty good awareness of James Wood and how good he is. I guess what I'm asking you is, among you and your friends and folks, so like my good buddy, who's in the neighborhood, who is a sports fan. Our kids play together a lot. We've become pretty good friends over the years. He's like, hey, how about that James Wood, huh? Seems like he's really good. Like, that level of awakening. Like, my point is, I want to stop him and be like, no. He's hitting. He's got his OPS over 900 against lefties. Like, I want to, like, shake him. Like, grab him by the shirt. And
no,
like,
he's not just good. He's awesome.
He's so incredible. You know, like, that's kind of the question. Mm-hmm. Do the people in your circles get it? Let's go to Frank in Great Falls. Are people coming to grips with how good James Wood is, Frank?
No, they're not. Thanks for taking my calls, fellas. And I also think that even the baseball cognoscenti aren't coming to grips with it yet, in part because it's a small sample size to them, and in part because they assume that the pitchers are going to start adapting and changing things. But what I saw just over the last couple of series is the managers are starting to get it because they're starting to give them a little Bonds treatment. You know, walk right on down to first base, son. Let's see what people behind you can do. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see a lot more of that coming up.
I 100% agree with you. I think that's on deck here, Tobes, as with all due respect to Nathaniel Lowe and company, but I'm not afraid of K-Burr Ruiz. You know, he crushed a ball last night that would have been out in almost every other ballpark, but, you know, at that time of night in Seattle, it's just a warning track fly out piece. But for the I don't think he's homered since the first series of the year.
Yeah, he hasn't homered since March.
Yeah, so, again, I like Ruiz better. I mean, everybody loves to beat up on K-Burr Ruiz. That Rosenthal article certainly wasn't kind about Ruiz. He didn't have a great defensive sequence last night when Jorge Lopez was in the game, a pass ball, a couple that shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
One went as a wild pitch, but please just catch it. Should have been out of the inning with a easy catch and throw. Didn't happen. Anyway, point is, I'm not afraid of Lowe or Ruiz or Bell or Garcia. I am afraid of James Woods, so I think that treatment's coming.
So a couple of things just as a fan or someone watching that you can tell when a guy's getting to that special status. If you're watching the game at home, and one of the things that I like to do, Danny, is I like to sync up the radio call and just listen to the radio call because Charlie and Dave are so good. And I'm obviously paying attention. I'm watching. But sometimes you're doing other stuff. When James Wood comes to the plate,
you stop doing it.
Everything gets put down, and we watch the at-bat. And then we're back to whatever afterwards. But James Wood is someone that's must-watch. And it's even at the ballpark, Danny. I told Grant this last year. Up in the press box, we're watching the game. And you know how it is when you need to go get food or you need to go use the restroom or you're going to go grab a drink or something. You look who's coming up next inning, right? And you're like, I don't care about 7, 8, 9. I'll get up and go. I got up and was like, I don't really care. It was like 2, 3, 4 in the Nats order. And I was getting up and I didn't really care. That's not the case anymore.
Not this time.
Not anymore.
Tobes, let me do something real quick with you. Before you were born, let me take you back to 1991, January. The then Washington Redskins were in the Super Bowl. Old Randy Duye is sitting in his 7th grade math class. His favorite teacher, a gentleman named Lawrence O'Connor, known as OC or Mr. OC. After Washington wins the Super Bowl, takes the math test that we took the previous Friday, throws them up in the air, says, they don't count. You would have thought we all won the lottery. Absolute pandemonium. Absolute pandemonium. It got to the point that other teachers walking the hallway weren't quite sure it was happening, and I believe someone ducked their head in to make sure that nothing was on fire. To make sure that nobody was hurt. OC's online, too. OC, what's up, brother?
Hey, Danny. How you doing?
I'm great, my friend. Good to catch up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I couldn't agree with you more about Wood. I think he's got a very strong potential to be as good as Soto. And so this might be one of the greatest trades in history, the one we made with San Diego, because in addition to Wood, as you know, obviously, we've got Abrams and Gore, who are already very good. Hassel looks like he might very well turn into quite a good player. I hear Susanna might be a monster. And I guess the only guy in that trade that we don't talk about much is Voit. But, I mean, if you've got Woods, Abrams, Gore, Hassel, and Susanna, and you gave up Soto, and I love Soto, don't get me wrong. I love him to death. But Wood could be Soto, and then you've got those other four players. Unbelievably good trade. Hats off to Rizzo.
100%. OC, love you, buddy. Always appreciate you chiming in.
It's why Rizzo gets a little bit of the benefit of the doubt with me, right? Because that trade right there, we can talk about some of the other stuff and the draft and develop stuff like we talked about with the Rosenthal article. That stuff is all valid. But even just look at the last couple of years. Candelario turned into DJ Hers, which he's hurt right now. But Hers could be a really good player. Look at Lane Thomas, the deal that they got him for John Lester. And then look when they flipped him and they get an Alex Clemmy and a guy that's helping you at the big league level right now, a solid hitter in Jose Tena. Like those sorts of things he's so good at. So he still gets the benefit of the doubt in some areas. I can understand some of the detractors, but those sorts of trades take you over the top.
Let's go to Ian in Vienna. Are people sleeping on James Wood here, Ian?
So my take, sticking to the question, is I just don't think the Nationals are getting a lot of publicity for a plethora of reasons. We've talked about ownership at length. We've talked about where they've been in the standings forever. So even if he was having a Ohtani caliber year, there's two things in play. One, small sample size. Two, irrelevant team. And three, there's a lack of buy-in from even the local public because we've been burned by Soto, Harper, Rendon, Turner, et cetera, where it doesn't feel like you can invest. Look at Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. Rookie year, everyone's like, I'm all in. I know he's going to be here for 5 years, and I feel very confident he's going to be here for the long term. There's a buy-in. We saw it with RG3. With Wood, there's, I always tease Grant, and he gets mad at Nat's Twitter, quote-unquote, is because every time something happens, people are like, well, he'll be gone in a few years. That's that sentiment, so it holds people back from, quote-unquote, being all in despite all these next level metrics showing you how good he is. There's just a lack of faith in anything with this organization. And we've talked about that ad nauseum, and I've ranted and raved about that as well. So that's just kind of my stance there.
I appreciate you, dude. Let's put a pin in that. We'll talk about that in a second. Chris in Hyattsville. James Wood, your thoughts.
First of all, I want to say, Danny, you love Luis Garcia the way Grant loves fourth-line D guys on
correct.
The Caps.
Correct. Chris, okay. I'm guilty. Hold on. I'm gonna let you finish. You are correct about that. I have stood on the table so many times and had pies thrown at me. You're right.
You are irrational about your, like, every time Dave or Charlie's, hey, what's going on with Luis Garcia? Why isn't he getting better stats? Like, I don't know what your infatuation is, but it border on obsessive.
It's neurotic. Anyway, I'm with you.
Listen, the reason why everybody is hibernating on James Wood is because he's shy. He's not Bryce Harper, okay? He's not the phenom, the cultural phenom that Ohtani is. He's very shy. He doesn't talk very much. I watched the game the other night. The guy hits a two-run double. He's standing on second base with the same demeanor as me picking up my luggage at the airport. I mean, like, he's shy. He's not boisterous. He's not demonstrative. He just goes out there and play. He's everything that I love about baseball and the antithesis of guys like Harper and Acuna and Ozuna and so on.
I think that's 100% correct assessment on both counts, by the way. Both my obsession with Luis Garcia and the Wood assessment.
I mean, because even Juan Soto, I don't think was overly brash, but he had the Soto shuffle, right? And he would stare at pitchers and do different stuff. Like, he wasn't always in your face like Bryce Harper was. But even he had a little bit more than James Wood. He hits a home run, and the most personality I've seen out of him was in the commercial, in the Papa John's commercial. Like, I've seen more personality in that than I have with him hitting a three-run bomb that lands about a mile into half street. Like, it's crazy.
So let's go back to what Ian said a moment ago. I want to tackle that next. 800-636-1067. We're kind of morphing. Two-in-one conversation here. A, we kind of discussed the you know, how public at large, maybe baseball fans at large, aren't really appreciating what's happening with James Wood and how good that dude is. Here's the part two. Is there a reason behind that? That sentiment that Ian just shared, that what's the difference? He's going to be gone. I know that's 6 years away, and I know that irks the hell out of Grant, but I understand feeling that way.
Yeah.
I understand that he's got Scott Boras as his agent. I understand that because the Nats aren't really, you know, haven't demonstrated that enormous commitment to winning like they were when they were top 10 payroll and they're going to get Max Scherzer or sign Jason Worth or whatever, when their biggest offseason move is trading for Nathaniel Lowe and signing Michael Soroka, that doesn't signal to you, here we go. Now, their internal dialogue that came out to us was, we think we're ready to compete right now, we're ready to go play. And that's fine. But the actions of the team or front office, whoever you want to call it, didn't match that energy. Is there a reluctance to commit? Is there a reluctance to get excited because you've seen this movie before with all the players that Ian mentioned, whether it's Rendon, Soto, Harper, go through the list of guys that are no
so
longer
many,
here,
yes.
Right? 800-636-1067. Are you reluctant to buy in? And maybe that's why people don't appreciate James Wood enough.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Spires worked 20 innings, allowed 14 hits. Two of them homers, struck out 28 and walked only four. A 192 average against, and a swing and a line drive down the left field line. That's going to drop in fair into the corner. Rounding third, coming home to score is Tana. Abrams speeding around third will score without a play as the throw comes into the shortstop, Crawford in shallow left field. James Wood foils the Mariners' strategy.
We brought in a lefty to face James Wood. It'll be fine, right? Right? Nope. We got a dude.
Remember when that was the reason he wasn't up earlier, too? He's got to hit lefties. He's just fine.
Bro. I do remember that now.
He's just fine. He's okay.
Now, would a left-on-left OPS over 9? Over 900? Would that work for you?
We need 950.
Would that be okay for you?
We need 980, Danny.
Yep, time for him to be in the show, and thank goodness he is. He's awesome. 800-636-1067 to talk to me, talk to Tobes. It's Grant and Danny here on the Fan. Toby in for GP. So here's the sentiment that I'm addressing now, kind of part two of this conversation. A tweet. Shout out JP Finlay. A tweet. So imagine it was 2012 and Twitter, and you were tweeting, all right? A tweet from Josh. As much as I want to buy in, it's hard. Current ownership isn't extending him IMO. The lack of energy and initiative trickles down from the top at ownership and into the fan base.
Tweet.
Thanks, JP.
Twitter.
That's kind of what I'm talking about here. And, you know, I get there's a difference between feeling that to a degree and, you know, like trolling Grant every time James Wood gets a base hit. I'm like, he's gone in 6 years. Like, there's you can enjoy him hitting an opposite field double off a lefty last night to score the first two runs of the game. You could still have fun, but know in the back of your mind, yeah, this is the time I get. The clock has already started, right? But I do think that sentiment and that feeling is kind of getting in the way of some of the joy that this fan base and baseball maybe at large might have.
It 100% is. Absolutely is. Because it's a situation where if this team were good, Danny, and then they were adding in a guy that might not leave until 2030, it'd be a little bit different. But I think most Nats fans still believe that this team is a year, 2 years, 3 years away from being in a potential window where they could actually compete for a World Series, not just be above 500 and sneak in the back end, but be really competitive like we once saw this team be. And so I think people are looking at it and saying, that's awesome that he's going to be here till at least 2030. That's awesome that we can have control. But the issue is we might not be competitive until 2028. And then at that point, your window is 2 to 3 years versus, because you can look at the same sort of thing for, say, the NFL, if you wanted to go to that. You only have 5 years with a rookie, but you feel like you're building and then you have a chance to extend that guy. And so it's like, okay, now we're getting cornerstones that we can build and build. But when you have a guy for a 5-6 year window and you feel like you're not going to be able to continue to get to the level that you can win at until year 3, year 4, then you're like, oh, like this guy's already at a level that he could be a championship level player. The rest of the team isn't there yet. So I do think that sentiment is understandable because we've also seen it where as much as we like to think that things have gone great in the past and obviously winning the World Series in 19 covers up a lot, there have been just about every star that this team has had is now donning another uniform and during their prime, by the way. It's not like they left when they were 37, 38 and then it's like, okay, adios. A lot of these guys left in their prime, and they're going to be remembered as athletes that played for another team, not a national.
And the only guys that they've re-signed are Ryan Zimmerman, different time when that happened, a couple different times over. And Zim would probably tell you he's the worst negotiator ever. And I'm not ripping him. I mean, that's my dude, my buddy. But like he basically said, yep, I'm kind of probably giving away some stuff. I want to be here. And he made it happen as Mr. National. And they also signed Steven Strasburg. And that turned out to be one of the worst deals in sports history.
Yeah, that's it.
So I understand it's not always good business. I mean, for one case, thank God they didn't sign Anthony Rendon, who I advocated for, by the way. Again, post-World Series, I'm just so happy. I don't care what you do.
Yeah, sign everybody.
But I'm going, if I was going to pick one of those two dudes, as much as Strasburg was the MVP of that World Series and that run, they don't have it without him. They don't have it without Rendon either. But I would have re-signed Rendon. I thought he would age better. How funny is that to say now? Mm-hmm. Neither contract was worth the piece of paper it was printed on. But I understand. You go, we're not going to be able to sign seven. It's probably not smart to sign someone for $750 million in Juan Soto. You can be in last place with Juan Soto. Okay. It's probably not that smart to spend, I'm just making a number, $330 million on Trey Turner. A really good player, but not a franchise lead goose kind of guy. Again, a guy that I'd love to have. I'd rather have Trey Turner than not have Trey Turner.
Correct.
But I don't know that I would want to give him that money. Same thing kind of for Bryce Harper, where, again, an MVP player, a Hall of Fame kind of player. How well is he going to age? I don't know. We'll see. He was younger than a lot of guys when they hit free agency. So not every mega deal is great. But the point is, like, it's got to happen a little bit more frequently. And when you see the warning signs, if they offer him something, it's going to be deferred money or not at all. Boris, this org, you kind of go, I'm counting down the days.
Yeah, and it's tough because maybe you could try to do situations like Jackson Churio signed a nice deal with the Brewers before he ever made his debut. Corbin Carroll did the same sort of thing, right? Where the guy is still going to hit free agency when he's around the age of 30. But instead of just that 6 years, it's 8, 9, 10. Feels like they're locked up a little bit longer.
Yeah, buy out a couple
RBs. And they're going to be there, right? So maybe you could do something like that, but then it's tough because, look, Boris guys are going to hit free agency. That's his MO. So Gore's going to hit free agency. Wood more than likely is going to hit free agency. So that's where it gets tough, but could you get something done where you could keep CJ here through the 2030 season, 2031, 2032? You know, could you consider something like that with, I know not tons of Nats fans are as big on this guy, but he's going to be here soon, hopefully, a Brady House, if that were somewhere you decided to go. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing where it's tough for Nats fans to really buy in sometimes because they've been bit by so many where look how many former jerseys people are wearing around the ballpark because they're other places now.
Let's go to Dave in Raleigh. Dave, what's up, man?
Well, just what your point was, I understand the ownership situation. I understand how Boris likes to operate and take his players to free agency. It's his job to get his players the most money. But I just wish the Nationals would be more proactive. Recognize you have elite talent. Offer the kid a bunch of money, 10 years under market value, kind of like they did with Churio and kind of like the Braves did with Acuna.
Yep.
Lock him up for 10 years. If he's a local kid, he's quiet. I mean, you may be able to sell him on it, man. It's worth a shot. I just wish we would do that more often.
Well, 100% it's worth a shot, Dave.
Gore.
Yeah.
Recognize your core. Lock these guys up. If they choose not to sign, okay. But just letting them get to free agency and walk and then undercut whatever other team's going to give them is not going to ever work. I understand the learners want to sell. They're not going to give out fat contracts. But let's say you offer James, you have financial security now. You don't have to worry about getting hurt. You could be a $250 million man for the next 10 years, and he'll be a DC legend. Thanks for taking my call, boys.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate that. So that's – it always takes two to tango, right? So when you offer somebody a legit contract and they say no, at least you get to say you did that.
Yeah.
Like you think back to how some of those things went with Trey Turner, for example, or Rendon at various points, right? Where there was an initial overture, an initial offer, and, you know, this wasn't necessarily accepted, but that's how we start the process. And then the process wouldn't continue. And I can't remember the exact details of the story, Tobes, maybe you do, where they made an offer to Turner at one point, they said no, And then that was it. It was never brought up again, never approached again. And it was sort of like, oh, well, I guess, you know, good luck to you. Yeah. Rendon, at an earlier point, when he was on his way to breaking out, I think he was a top five MVP finisher and kind of a down year for the award. But that was the time. Not in free agency, not when, you know, you're a month away from being able to sign a lucrative deal with anybody and get the bidding going, but when he's, you know, when the debate is over whether he should hit second or not with Dusty Baker. That's the time to do it, and did they? You can't always say that they did.
Yeah, and by the way, the other part, too, about this is you might have control through 2030 on James Wood, but by the same account of what happened with Juan Soto, you might not have him through 2030 is the issue that a lot of fans, I think, run into, because you're probably going to trade him with a year and a half of control so that you can maximize a trade offer, and then we're running this vicious cycle again over and over. And that's what I think fans are worried about.
Good conversation on that one. Appreciate you guys having it. Talking about a guy that, at the end of the day, is incredible. And it's awesome. While he's here, I'm going to have a grand old time.
Just watch him. He's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know how long it's going to be, but the point is, it's happening right now, and James Wood is a superstar. Not going to be a superstar right now this minute. Good conversation. Let's move on here. Beltway Blitz at 4 o'clock. Chance to win Post Malone tickets at that time. Next, I have a menial, repetitive, boring task that I love doing. I'll tell you what that is and ask what yours might be. We'll do that at 3 o'clock on The Fan.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.